2 Samuel chapter 18, as we just continue our journey here through the book of 2 Samuel. Tonight we'll turn to 2 Samuel 18. And just so that we kind of all on the same page here, we are kind of in the section of scripture where David has been rejected as king. His own son ran him off of the throne. And again, David being a perfect type of the Lord Jesus, his son ran him off. And Brother Branham, you know, brought to our attention that the nation of Israel was also called God's son. He said, out of Egypt, I've called my son. And that was Jesus Christ as well as the nation of Israel. It had a dual meaning for that scripture. And Israel rejected Christ just like Absalom rejected his father. In the same way Absalom was bringing, just a lot of adversity towards his father, Israel brought adversity towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're catching him in scripture here where he is on the run, been criticized, has this guy Shimei throwing rocks and bottles and everything else at him, not only at David, but also everyone that's following David. They're receiving the same treatment. But we get to a spot here where, you know, tonight we'll get a little bit more about, we'll find out a little bit more about what happens here with Absalom. One of the other things that happened last week is Absalom had an advisor by the name of Ahithophel. His name meant, my brother is foolish. And Ahithophel gave some advice, and since his advice was not taken, he did a very foolish thing, and that was to commit suicide. He took his own life, and that was a very foolish thing that he did just because someone didn't take his advice. There's speculation as to why he might have done that. He might have thought that, hey, when David come back, I'm gonna die, so I might as well take my own life. But actually, Ahithophel, knowing that he was a counselor to David, and I believe there were scriptures that were written where, you know, David talked about this counsel, said, you know, we used to go into the house of God together. We used to do this and we used to do that. And say, you know, I would have been able to bear if my enemy would have come against me. But if it was you, my brother, that I had sweet counsel with, I got a problem with that, you know. But David's heart, being a heart after God, I believe David would have forgiven Ahithophel. I don't think he would have killed Ahithophel. I think he would have forgiven Ahithophel. And Ahithophel should have known that, but yet he did a foolish thing by committing suicide. His advice was not taken, so the advice is picked up here in 2 Samuel 18. And as we go forward here tonight, we'll see what happens here to Absalom. Verse 1. It says, David numbered the people, and David had already received word from a couple of spies that told him what the plan was. Said David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. I want to just kind of break in on that before we go further. The three people that he's given his army to, he's dividing his army, and he's given one part to Joab, who's been with him for quite some time. Also Joab's brother Abishai, who's also been with David quite some time. But then the third person is Ittai, the Gittite. Now, let's just kind of back up on a couple of scriptures. Let's try to get a understanding of who Ittai is that David is giving this responsibility to. Turn back in your Bible to 2 Samuel 15. Second Samuel 15, and it says, verse 19 is where we'll start from here, Second Samuel 15. And it says this, And let me also set this up. This is at a time. This is at the time that David was actually leaving the throne, and he was being thrown off, and he's running for his life. This guy Attai shows up in at this time. Verse 19 says, "Then said the king to Attai the Gittite, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile." It says, "Whereas thou camest but yesterday." Now, what strikes me is that David is dividing his army, giving it to this man Attai that showed up just a few days ago, right? This man has a tremendous responsibility in order to direct a third of the army against in a battle that's against David's son Absalom. But he gives responsibility to a man that just showed up just a few days ago. Right now, let's just keep reading. "Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither, seeing I go whither I may return, thou." And take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And Attai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." So this man shows his commitment, all right, to David through these words. And even just when you think about those words, that kind of sound like Esther, all right, when Esther say, you know, she told, Ruth, when she told Naomi, she say, you know, where you go, I'm going to go. Your people are going to be my people. Ain't no sense in trying to talk to me about going back. I got no desire to go back. My sister-in-law can go back, but I'm going forward. And, you know, and I mean, where you die, I'm going to die, right? Where you live, that's where I'm going to live. So people that have that type of commitment, and you can tell that. Brother Branham said you can tell a person's spirit within about 2 minutes of talking to them. Right. So, I mean, here this guy Attai kind of shows that, look, I'm committed to this. I mean, I know I just got here, but I'm committed to it. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, I just read through this and just thinking about this, you know, his name actually meant with me. Attai means with me. Right. He just got there, but his name say a lot about him. Right. And even though he's got so much responsibility has been given to him, he only been there for a short amount of time. It's because he had the right spirit. Right. And the way I feel about it is that God, I mean, every church needs some Attais in it. Every church need a few Attais. Just a few. I'm with you no matter what. I don't care what go on. I'm going to be with you. Right. Every church need that. Right. Amen. Glory to God. So David said to Attai, "Go and pass over." And Attai, the Gittite, passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. Let's skip back over here to 2 Samuel 18. I think he demonstrates that, you know, he's there with David no matter what. And David decides to give a third of his army in a very important battle to this man, Attai. Sometimes we just kind of, we need that. There's a lot of people that will, God will move them, you know, from different places. Everybody that's in this church right now, we've come from somewhere else. Unless you're a little baby that was born here. And I don't think we even got no babies here tonight that was born in Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. But all of us come from somewhere. Right. And, you know, and we've been a part of sometimes ministries where, man, you can be hindered in your as far as your gift being used. Right. I mean, a guy like Attai, David saw what was in him and immediately started using him. And when we see that as a church, I mean, think about some of the other warriors that was with David. Right. Think about some of the other warriors. Maybe they say, wait a minute, this guy just got here. You giving part of the army to this guy? You know, think about the attitude that they might have had, right? You know, it's like, I mean, no. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And I, you know, if I'm actually go a little further and show you something. Attai became one of the 30 mighty men of David. All right. This man became one of the 30 mighty men, right? You know, I read to you all on Sunday about, you know, some of those warriors and how they were, you know, they did greater works. Well, there was 30 of them that never really attained to that status, but yet they were considered the mighty men of David. Right? This is something, you know, don't get jealous when God sends somebody that can be a help. The church actually pray for help. I'm telling you, not just this church, every church need a taste. Can I put it this way too? Brother or sister, we need a taste. Wherever you can fit in, get in. Right? But, you know, we need this. And it's good for us to see this in Scripture. David pulled this man that only got there just a couple days. I mean, people will create problems. I'm just talking. But people will create, if they see somebody walk through here and only been here a month and get a position, say, oh, what is this? It's because they got a gift in their life. Right? That's, we identify that gift. And we shouldn't be jealous of that. We should be actually helping push that forward. I mean, a musician, if I know you've been a musician somewhere else, you ain't got to sit here and wait no 14, 15 years before you start playing. You got a life, we going to use you. Right? You abiding by this word, we going to use you. Right? Amen, church. We need some attains. We need them. We need them. Let's go over 2 Samuel 23 and just kind of read about these mighty men. I gave you all 1 Chronicles 11, I believe, on Sunday, but 2 Samuel 23 is also the exact same scripture that talks about those mighty men. I'm going to take verse 8 and then I'm going to skip down a little bit here. 2 Samuel 23 said, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at once. And this is the one I slew at one time. I mean, he slew 800 men in one day. And this is the person I was telling y'all when we read it in 1 Chronicles 11. It showed 300 there. But there was the theologians say that the way that they, transposed the scripture, they just wrote the wrong number down. But here's 800 men that he slew in one day. So when we talk about doing greater works, this man did greater works, right? You know, we can just go on down, but you pick up everybody else. But let me just, I'm going to skip down because this is a pretty long scripture. I'm going down to verse 24. It says this, Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. El Hanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shama, the Haradite, Elijah, the Haradite. These are talking about the other mighty men of David. Heles, the Paltite, Ira, the son of Ikish, the Tekoite, Abiezer, the Anathothite, Mabune, the Hushathite, Zalman, the Ahohite, Mahari, the Netophathite, Heleb, the son of Bana, Netophathite, Ittai, see his name right there? Ittai, the son of Rebai, out of Gibeah of the children of Benjamin, Benaiah the Pirathonite, Hidei of the brooks of Gash, Abialbon and the Arbathite, Asmaveth the Barhumite, Eliaba the Shalbonite of the sons of Jashan, Jonathan, Shama the Hararite, Ahiam the son of Sharar the Hararite, Eliphlet the son of Hasbe, the son of Makathite, Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite, Hezrei, the Carmelite, Pare, the Arbite, Igal, the son of Nathan of Zobah, Bani, the Gadite, Zelek, the Ammonite, Nahari, the Berathite, armor bearer to Joab, the son of Zariah, Ira, and Ithrite, Gareb, and Ithrite, Uriah, the Hittite, 37 in all. And Brother Branham told us that when he get to heaven, he want to shake the hand of Uriah. His faithfulness to David, even though David did what he did to Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. But he still wanted to shake that man's hand. So we saw, you know, all these mighty men. Ite happened to be one of those mighty men. Praise God. We need some Ite's. Amen. Let's go on. 2 Samuel 18. Verse 2 again says, and David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. He wanted to go in battle. But the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succour us out of the city. Help us in the city. Verse 4 says, and the king said unto them, what seemeth you best I will do? And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains a charge concerning Absalom. I see nothing but Jesus Christ in this man David. All right. Absalom has just run him off the throne. He's out in the wilderness again. His own son does this to him. And rather than have a heart of revenge, deal gently with him. Deal gently. This is a man without the Holy Ghost, right? Church, this is why we challenge. When we read things like this in Scripture, we're challenged. How do we respond? Right? So when an Absalom rises up against us, how do we respond? Deal gently. Deal gently with him. Look at it. So the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was in the wood of Ephraim, where the people of Israel were slain before the servants of David, and there was there a great slaughter that day of 20,000 men. But the battle was there scattered over the face of all the country, and the wood devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. So when the scripture tells brothers to cut their hair, this is a good reason. Watch out. Sisters, grow your hair. Right? But brothers, cut your hair. Right? This is a good reason, because he didn't cut his hair. He only cut his hair once a year. It grew very thick. And that hair that was so beautiful. Right? The hair that just got him all the attention. That hair also took his life. Right? Amen. Let's keep on reading. I mean, you see this man is caught in a tree by his head. His hair get caught in a tree. Couple trees. Look at this. Verse 10 says, and a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. And Joab said unto the man that told him, and behold, thou sawest him, and why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle. And the man said unto Joab, though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Now, this man is telling the truth. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Joab was the one that came up with a scheme to get Absalom back into the kingdom. He had a woman play like she had lost some sons. Right, she was acting the whole thing out. Joab was the one that came up with the scheme, had this lady go before David, and David went along right with the plan and brought his son home. Yep. Absalom took off on his own. He was banished, but not expelled. Right? He came back. He came back. I mean, you can read it in 2 Samuel 14 there. He came back. Joab was the one that brought this plan. Now, as we go forward in this scripture, the same guy that brought him back, it's the same guy that slayed him. Let's keep reading. So this man pretty smart. I wouldn't have did it either. Verse 13 again says, otherwise I should have brought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. Now, when I read this and I think about Joab, Joab is a relative to David. He's a relative. And David told him very specifically, deal gently with my son Absalom. Now, Absalom and Joab had some problems before. Absalom had come back into the kingdom, and for 2 years he had not seen the king's face. Well, he got a little disappointed with that, and he decided to set Joab's field on fire. And when he did that, Joab came and said, why your servants do this? He said, well, you know, if y'all not going to allow me to see the king, I've been here 2 years and y'all not going to allow me to see the king, well, why should I even be here, right? And he and Absalom used that in order to get back into the king's presence. Okay, now Joab might have, I don't know, maybe his crops or whatever he had there was all burned up. Maybe he had something in his heart that eventually when the opportunity presented itself, he was going to get Absalom. Well, the opportunity presented itself. Here, the king's son hanging in a tree by his head. That's painful, y'all. That's painful. I mean, you can't. He probably wish he had some scissors or something to just cut free from that. But that, just hanging there, nobody doing nothing to get him down. And here this man comes with darts and throws them right in his heart. That's not dealing gently with the king's son. Look at it. Verse 15 says, and 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about him and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people. Other thing I just want to kind of bring out, Absalom was never anointed to be king. Absalom stole the hearts of the people and took the kingdom. And typically, when, as you read the scripture, anyone that rises up into a position of authority like that, that God did not put there, their kingdoms don't last very long. Okay. Churches go through the same thing. Anyone that rises in a position that God didn't put there, they won't stay very long. That's just the way it works, right? They won't stay very long. Pastors that start churches that God didn't start, their church won't last very long, or you just won't ever see any growth. It's just the way it works, church, right? You want God, and except the Lord build a house, we labor in vain. Let's keep reading. Verse 17, and they took Absalom and cast him into a great pit in the wood and laid a very great heap of stones upon him, and all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dell, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. They called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day, but this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Now, we have one guy by the name of Ahimaaz that wants to run, but Joab won't let him run. But then he also has Cushai, who says, I want you to run, right? So let's just keep reading here. And what Cushai is going to do is actually go give a report as to what has happened. Okay, Verse 22 says, Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, Wherefore would thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? This type of stuff happened in church. Somebody been chosen to run. I like the way Brother Smiley said, if somebody been given the football to run with, don't try to take the ball out the man's hand. We on the same team. Right? And don't try to, I mean, he doing that. You find something else to do. Right? You find something else. God anointed you to do something else. Let him do that. Or let her do that. Right? But let's not try to take the football out of each other's hands. Let's keep reading. It says, but howsoever said he that, let me run. And he said unto him, run. He got tired of it. Just run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. That means he outran the other man. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, Behold, another man running. Behold, another man running alone. And the king said, He also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, Me thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. So he's used to, the people used to seeing him do this, right? The running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, He is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, All is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, Is the young man Absalom safe? So he wasn't even thinking about all these other tidings. Blessed be, you know, the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against. I mean, this man, you know, he's trying to, I guess, he wants to be the one to deliver the good news so he can probably get into a better position with the king. Right. But he, you know, David ain't even interested in all that. I want to know one thing. The king said, Is a young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, When Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. You haven't answered the king's question. And maybe that's why Joab didn't really want you going. Look. And the king said unto him, Turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, Tidings, my lord, the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. The king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? Same question to a different person. And Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. Let them know your son did not make it. Look at this. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, the same son that put him off his throne, he's weeping over that son. It's the same way Jesus Christ on the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The same Christ that we see on the cross still have a love towards Israel, no matter what it is that did not. We see that manifested in the life of David. This was genuine church. But also is the word of God being fulfilled. You all, you know, when David took Bathsheba and the prophet came to him and told him, the things he'd done, he thought he got away with it. About a year had transpired, and he thought he got away with that sin. And when the prophet Nathan came to him and, you know, just began to give him a little parable, you know, as to some things that happened, David just rose up and said, Oh, the person that took that sheep out of restored fourfold. He said, you know, he should restore it fourfold. He's going to die, you know, for doing that. Nathan said, you know, you're the man. You're the guilty party. He said, God not going to kill you. He's going to have grace. But, you know, some of these things that you're going to see it happen, manifest in your family. Some things that you sowed is going to be reaped in your family. And that word fourfold, when it says he should restore fourfold, well, David ended up losing four sons. He lost the son to Bathsheba, the first son. He lost Amon. Now he's lost Absalom. And we're going to find another son a little later on. I can tell you now it's going to be Adonijah. But he lost four sons. And now the other thing I found out about Absalom, when he killed Amnon, Amnon was actually the firstborn son. So that was very strategic what Absalom did when he killed Amnon. That put him in a position to maybe be able to take the kingdom at some point in time, right? So he was very strategic about what he was doing when he had that gang of guys go after Amnon. It was just something in him that he was going to try to rise up and take the kingdom. He had the wrong spirit, had the wrong approach about it. And God couldn't bless that. I don't even know how long I don't think his kingdom lasts no longer than about 2 days. That's about it. You got to wait for God to do things. The Bible said man's gift make room for itself and bring him before a great man. Tate had a gift that made room for himself. And we thank God for that. Verse 2, I just want to go back and read that because something struck me. I want to read a quote regarding it. Here when David said he would go out in battle, they responded. David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai, the Gittite. And the king saith unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself. Also, verse 3, but the people answered, thou shalt not go forth, for if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die, will they care for us, but now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, now it is better that thou succor us out of the city. When I looked at that scripture, I thought of this quote where Brother Branham talked about, you know, having some change in your pocket. And when you pull that change out of your pocket, you got some pennies, you got some nickels, you got some dimes, you got some quarters, you got some half dollars, silver dollars. I mean, but, you know, all of it's needful. Here, you know, David is a true silver dollar. All right. And they're saying, look, we don't need you to go out to battle and end up dying because they don't care nothing about us. We care more about you. They're actually looking for you. That's what they're looking for, not us. So, you know, David was a silver dollar. That's the way I look at it. So let's read this quote out of God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. Amen. David was a silver dollar. Brother Branham says this, as all these believers, as we could go on for hours, all these were like a bunch of change out of your pocket. In God's hands, you pull out a bunch of change, there is pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, half a dollar, all in coins. Now that's what the world is, in God's hand. There are some people that just can have a penny's worth of it, and God can only use them in a penny way. That's all they can buy. Don't reject them. If they can't believe the real truth, don't turn them down. Don't kick them out and say they're not in it, because God uses pennies sometimes. Lord, we all need to hear that. I mean, you know, coming to the message, we all feel like we believe we dollars. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, right? But we got to remember, God still used the pennies. Look, Lot was just a penny. Abraham was a silver dollar. So it had taken 100 lots to make an Abraham. And so will it take. 100 carnal believers will never stand in the presence of a genuine Christian that's separated from the carnal things of the world, living in Christ Jesus where the word can flow through him. He can only take a penny's worth. That's all he's got. So you see people that say, I don't believe in healing, I don't believe in these things, just know it's a penny, but just let him alone. See, just a penny's worth, and so that's all he can buy. Don't stop him, just let him alone. Remember, that's just all the further he can go. Joseph, he was separated from his brethren. Yeah, I didn't mean that hardly in that way, that I said it. See, I mean, if he just, well, I belong to this, and that's what we believe, it's just a penny. Go ahead. See, just a penny. Well, the Lord bless you, my brother. See, he is copper. He can never be silver. That's it. So just let it go ahead. God can use him. Oh, he is using it. I'd rather see him down there in a church than to see a bar room standing there, than to see a bar room standing there on the corner. Wouldn't you? Sure. So just let it alone. God can use it anyhow, maybe not very much, but he'll use what he can use as much as they'll let him use. So that's a kind of rude way to express anything. But I hope you get the truth that I mean in it, what it's meant. See, so, you know, we have a lot of people that all us change. Some will never make it to be silver. Some gonna always be copper, right? That's in the church. But you got to learn how to just let it alone. Don't criticize the copper. Don't criticize the copper. Trust me, I done used copper before. I done been out of gas. And didn't want to go tell my mom and my daddy I ain't had no money. Because the first thing I would have heard, where all your money going? I did not want to hear that from my parents. So, you know, I had a piggy bank, and it was full of copper. I took it and rolled it up, because I didn't want them to have to count all that copper. But I took it and rolled up, and I filled up my car. And I made it to the next, you know, till it's time to get paid again. So you can use copper, right? Don't criticize it. It don't go that far, right? But you can still use it. Praise the Lord. Hey, glory, glory, glory. All right. Let's look at something else here. Another just quote that I want to bring. I'll just read. There's a man here that can turn on the light. This is in reference to what we read out of 2 Samuel 23, when it talks about David's men and those how they were just there with him. Brother Branham even picked that up out of the scripture when we, you know, I just think it was a perfect segue from Sunday morning right into this. David had some men that proved that greater works could be done. They proved it through, you know, what they did. And these men that were with David, the other thing we need to understand is that these men were Gentiles. Gentiles. They weren't even faithful Israelites. Now, I can say some things there, just in my own personal life. I'm gonna just say it like this: there are denominational people sometimes that will show you more love, more concern, more care than people that say they believe this message. Denominational people, copper. Sometimes you get more love from copper than you get from the silver dollars. Right? David experienced this. I mean, Israel just, you know, doing whatever they're doing, but David was surrounded with men that were Gentiles. You know what? Jesus Christ got a Gentile bride. Rejected by the Israelites, but he got a Gentile bride, right? So, you know, these types are all over the scripture. If we see that, you know, sometimes we have to kind of see ourselves on scripture, like, man, you know, sometimes you might get a lot of rejection from people that say they believe exactly what you believe. But you got to learn how to press and persevere right through that, right? What we see here in David tonight, even the way that just take care of his son, just be gentle with him. We can correct it. We can fix it. Don't kill my boy, right? We got to kind of have that same attitude. Don't kill another person's character. Don't do it. Avoid it. Pass by that, right? If they're going to be copper, let them be copper. It can be used. It can be used, but you just say, God, you called me to be a silver dollar. I'll just be a silver dollar. I could have been copper, right? So just the principle of pass right by is just in all of that, right? We got to learn to do that with whatever it is that we go through. Just let it go. Be a dead person to it. You know, a dead person can't be hurt by what somebody else say. It can't be. You can kick them. They won't respond. can call them all kind of names. They won't respond. And actually, the person that looked crazy is the person that's doing all that calling names and everything, doing all the kick. The person is dead. They're not responding to anything you're doing. And we got to learn how to be dead people in Christ. Let's look at this quote. There is a man that can turn on the light. Then in there, a typing of David, which was a fugitive at the time of his excommunicating from his people. He was turned out, and Bethlehem was besieged, and the Philistines was garrisoned around Bethlehem. And David, a fugitive, type of the church today of Christ. See, Christ is a fugitive to his own church today. They have, a fugitive is something that's refused, and David had been refused, yet he was anointed to be king, but the prophet had anointed him. And during this time, being a fugitive from his people, he had picked up many gallant Gentiles. One of them killed 800 men one day with a spear or a sword. And another one jumped into a pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. And they was gathering lentil, which is beans or peas or something. And then all of them run away. And he stood and killed man till his arm got tired. They also killed those giant brothers of Goliath. Gallant man. Holding to David because they know he was coming in power. They know no matter what anyone said, God had the anointing on David, and they know that they were Gentiles. No matter how much they turned him out, they yet know that he was coming to power and one day there. What a type it is today of Christ, a fugitive. You say Christ a fugitive? According to the Bible, that God has gallantly taken us through those seven church ages. This Laodicean church, Christ was a fugitive outside of his church, rejected, trying to get back in again. See, he is a fugitive to his own church. And the reason he is a fugitive is because he is the word, and they won't let the word in. They've accepted creeds instead. And we find out then in this great struggle, those gallant men around David, Gentiles, and the least of David's thought was a command to those Gentiles. Get that. The least of David's thought was a command to those Gentiles. For they, a type of the Gentile church today, gallant men. See, those men who stood by David were Gentiles, but gallant men. They were fearless. They didn't even know what fear was. Lord have mercy, Jesus. If we can catch this as the Gentile bride of Christ, here to do greater works, because that's what he promised. Church, let's not operate in fear and doubt. Let's operate in faith, right? Fear shouldn't even be a part of our vocabulary, right? They have that thing, no fear. That's the way we should be. That should just be, you know, just flowing from us. No fear, no fear. Whatever we face, no fear, no fear. Oh my God, I'm not. You know, sometimes you go through things that might bring a tear to your eye. But it'll be so important for us to realize that, you know, even in the midst of our tears, we recognize who we are. We at some point in time, we straighten our shoulders and say, yeah, I'm going to cry because that's human, right? But I'm going to raise myself up, and I'm going to be a son of God. Just like Jesus wept when he went to Lazarus' grave, but he stopped weeping, and then he started speaking.
That's right.
They didn't even know what fear was. One man took a sword and killed 800 men, and them all around him. What a man that was. One of them. One other man. There was an Egyptian warrior run up with a long spear. He only had a stick in his hand. He took the stick and knocked the spear out of his hand. Took the spear and killed him himself. See, out of those giants had, one of those giants had 14-inch fingers like that. Now, 14 inches, your finger is just as long as your hand. Close. Open that up. And that would be 28-inch hand. And with a spear and jumped right in there and killed him. See, while he was a gallant man, a Gentile looking upon anointed one that he knew was coming into power. Did you notice them being so gallant to David? When David finally come in power, he made them ruler over cities. Didn't Jesus promise the same thing? The same thing, make them ruler, right? Then and there, when David's desire was to have a fresh drink, he probably had some old, warm, stagnant stagnated water up there. He was drinking, but he happened to think of that fresh water down there at Bethlehem, the house of God's bread. And he said, if I only had a drink from that well, and those men pulled the sword and fought 15 miles of Philistines. My God. Okay, that we read that on Sunday. They fought 15 miles of Philistines, not because he asked them to, but because they know he wanted it. And they cut them Philistines all the way to the well. While two of them fought, the other one got his bucket of water and fought their way back. All the way back and handed it to David. Talk about gallant. David, that godly man, said, God forbid that I would drink it from these friends that put their life in jeopardy. And that was certainly putting your life in jeopardy. 15 miles of fighting, going and coming. Church, I tell you, this is something. These are some mighty men. David only fought Goliath. Well, I mean, we ought to be preaching about these fellas. but look at it. David, that godly man, said, God forbid that I would drink it from these friends that put their life in jeopardy. And he made a drink offering, poured it out upon the ground to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He is the one worthy of that, not me. The very type of Christ himself, with his own eternal life within him, the smitten rock, poured his life upon the ground as a sin offering for us, that this word could live. O Gentiles, as I have said, who will pull that sword with me? Who he wants, talking about Christ, he wants a fresh drink this morning. Not this old stagnated church creeds and things we're fooling around with. He wants genuine faith in his word. Who will believe every word of it? Let's go to the well and bring back a drink, a refreshment, a worship that's built upon not creeds and denomination, but a genuine spirit worship with Christ among us, living his life the way he wants to among us. That's not with creeds and different things. Let's just have him that way. Church, I tell you, when you just kind of look at these the guys that surrounded David, even, you know, as we brought up tonight, even this one man just coming in just a few days by the name of Itay, how faithful he was, how dedicated he was, how committed he was. We ought to be the same way to Christ. Be faithful, be dedicated, be committed. Wherever we can get in, wherever we can fit in, we ought to get in. We ought to do the best we can for the Lord Jesus. God give you a gift, use your gift for God. Use it. God give you a gift, use it for God. I'd rather see you using it for God rather than using some nightclub. Right? Use your gift. We try to create space for people to use their gifts for God right here. We want to do that. Not just here when we do the youth services. I love to see the young people come in and just, you know, everybody get a chance to sing, everybody try. I mean, just do whatever you can for God. It encourages people. It really does, right? So, I mean, what we need is some faithful, the taste, you know, people that's, you know, I'm with you. No matter what, I'm with you. God needs that. God needs people that's going to serve him that way. No matter what, Lord, I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm with you. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm with you, right? That man's name meant something, and it demonstrated at a very, very, very special time in David's life. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for the ability to read the Word of God. We thank you for how the Holy Spirit just shines on different areas of the Scripture to help us to be challenged. And God, tonight we rise up to that challenge. Help us to be like this man of Tay. Let us be faithful to Christ, not to any man, but let us be faithful to Christ. Lord, our service to you would be so sincere that, God, no matter what is going on, we're going to stay right there with you. If we would do that to Christ, then I pray that wives would be faithful to their husbands. Husbands would be faithful to their wives. Children would be faithful to their parents. Parents be faithful to their children. God, let us see areas of our life where we can be more faithful, be committed. God, I ask that you would just not just let us look at it as just another Bible story, but help us, Lord, to walk in what we've read here tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask it.